19th chapter of the book of Luke. It's a very interesting story. It has a very meaningful thing about it. Jesus, of course, is entering into the city. And just before he gets into the city, he tells his disciples, go in, and as you enter the village, you'll find a colt tied. And loose the colt and bring him to me. I said, if a man who owns the colt asks why you loose him, tell him the Lord hath need of it. And there won't be any argument about it. So these two disciples go into the village, and when they got there, they found this colt tied to the post. They loosed the colt, and as they loosed the colt, the man who owned him said, what are you doing loosing my colt? What are you taking my colt for? Said, the Lord hath need of him. And they didn't argue. They didn't rebel. They didn't say anything back. They wasn't in a scramble or fuss or fight over it. Why? The Lord hath need of him. I raised the question tonight, what about you? If the Lord hath needed something you got, how do you act? Amen. Amen. Do you rebel? Do you argue? Do you get stubborn? Do you get hurt about it? If the Lord hath something needed something that you have, how do you react? Do you react like these men that own the colt? Or do you get stubborn and so on? If you have need of one of the members of your family for something, do you argue or submit? You go around and say, well, I've done my part. I've given my part. Well, who told you that? If the Lord hath need of you, of something you got, or hath need of you doing something, that's a sign you hadn't done your part. I mean, none of what your peanut brain thinks. That means he's not through with you. And if you've done more than all the rest in the church, and he still hath need of it, then don't try to justify an alibi and excuse yourself. If he hadn't had need of something else, he wouldn't been calling on you. You ought to thank God he lacks what you got, or lacks you enough to have need of it. And here's this colt now. This was an unusual colt, and that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. This colt wasn't a happensaw. This colt didn't accidentally come along. You see, Isaiah, almost 800 years ago, looked down through the corridors of time and saw this colt. And told the folks that it was going to be so. This is a special birth colt. He was born for this purpose. He comes with a temperament about him that most colts don't have. Now, notice when Jesus got the colt, then they took their cloaks and put them on the colt, and Jesus got on the colt, and the colt just rode along. Now, he didn't buck. No man had ever sat on the colt before. He'd never been broke in. But he didn't buck and try to throw Jesus off. He didn't go around kicking and braying and try to lay down and get Jesus off. He just walked right on into the city with him. Why? He's a special prepared colt. You know, and most of you probably don't know anything about little colts and so on, but any of you do know that they're not easily broke in. They do a lot of bucking when you first start to ride them, and kicking, and sometimes a bawling, and just pitching a fit, running away. But this one was a prepared colt. He had the proper temperament. He didn't buck, he didn't bawl, he didn't try to run away. Because Jesus had created this colt for this hour for himself. Amen. And we stop to realize, let's notice something else about the colt. And that is that when they rode in, the people threw their clothes out in front of the colt. And they are just throwing their clothes out there. Well, that'd scare the average colt to death, nearly. I mean, that colt had run away. Didn't bother the colt. He just walked on over the clothes. Then the third thing that ordinarily scared a colt, it said the disciples, the saints of God, began to praise him with loud voices. And when he was come nigh, even nigh at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." The disciples, a great multitude of disciples, all got to praise him with loud voices and praising the Lord. And the religious crowd, Pharisees, Sadducees, it was disturbing their quite pious, ritualistic, formal, legalistic religion. And they said, "Master, rebuke them. They're making us nervous. They're scaring us. Shut them up." Jesus said, "I'll not do it. If I shut them up, then the rocks will get to hollering, and that'll scare you worse." Always got the religious crowd that's nervous and don't want to hear anybody shout or praise God or get a little happy or cry or something. Bothers their emotions. Some time ago, I was in a meeting, the power of God moved through, and a lot of people really shouted, like shot the hounds down. Some good sister sidled up, dignified sister sidled up beside of me after it was all over and said, "Brother Ray, I want to ask you a question." I said, "Go ahead and ask it." Said, "Don't you think a lot of those folks that are hooping and hollering, jumping around, was in the flesh?" I said, "Lady, as far as I know, there's all in the flesh. I didn't see none that wasn't." And I said, "I sure was glad they were, because all that hollering gone on in here and I hadn't seen no flesh, you'd have scared me." And I'd a lot rather see some flesh shouting than for the rocks to start hollering. That might scare me. And so as a result, but none of this excited the colt. None of this caused the colt to quit and get his feelings hurt and to not to be want to identify. He just carried Jesus right on in. And so, my friends, what about you? Does some emotions and things cause you not to want to be identified? Do you want to slip off the corner and get out of the crowd because you're ashamed of it? No, sir. This colt carried Jesus right on to the victory that he's headed for. He was prepared for it. This was a prepared colt, which leads me to say to you and to me, my friends, tonight, why did God create you? You say, "Preacher, okay, I got the book on you. Let me turn to it and read it to you. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Creed, God didn't save you by works. He ain't going to save nobody by works. He saved you, but he created you unto good works. And he saved you so you'll do it. He didn't save you for doing it. He saved you so you would do it. And then we stop to realize there's another passage that we need to look at also. Let me read it to you in the Colossian letter. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him. And for him, everything that is ever created was done by Jesus Christ. Amen. Keep this in mind. If it's any creation, Jesus did it. is all done by him and for him. So we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which is simply saying God created each one of you to do something for him. No, you're not just accidentally come on the scene. Amen. You wasn't just accidentally born. Not at all. The reason you came into this world, ladies and gentlemen, lads and lasses, is because God had a work for you to do. Amen. And he created you for doing it. Now, you may never do it. You may never do what God created you to do, but you'll be a misfit when you face God. You'll be in trouble when you get up there and you haven't done what God created you to do. Not a one of you. Not a one of you. Rich, poor, intelligent, young or old, ignorant, whatnot. Not a one of you sitting here listening to me tonight, but what God created you for a special purpose. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, God before ordained that you should walk in them. God looked down through the curtains of time and saw your day and saw what was needed and created you to meet that need.
Amen.
Now, what God created you for? You say, I don't know, preacher. It's high time you get in the closet and get on your knees and stay there. You find out why you in this world.
Amen.
God just didn't bring you in here to fill up space. God just didn't bring you in here to add another number. God had a specific purpose for every last one of you who sit here and listen to me. He created you. He's got a work. You may never do that work. You may rebel on God. You may drift through life. You may fool your time away and never find out. But I'll tell you one thing. When you face the judgment of God, you'll have to suffer for it.
Amen.
So as a result, why did God create you? Every human, God had a purpose in them being here. You better find out what it is and not waste 25 or 30 years going through life and not knowing.
Amen.
To illustrate, let's go back and take some Bible and illustrate. You remember Paul said, when I realized I was separated from my mother's womb, saved by the grace of God, called of God, ordained of God, to reveal Christ to the heathen. I didn't consult flesh and blood. I didn't go around to see what the brethren thought about it. I just went at it. And wherever you find Paul after that, he's revealing Christ. Get him up before the Sanhedrin court and they say, Mr. Paul, we have you charged with us. But right, gentlemen, before we get into that, let me tell you about when I met up with Jesus. Got him up for the governor. Paul, the governor said, Paul, we have you charged with thus. Right, your honor, you do. But before we get into that discussion, let me tell you about what I experienced when I met up with Jesus.
Amen.
Got old Paul down in jail, beat him up and fastened him down there and come by and kicked him and spit on him and cursed him. He's having a rough time down in jail. Silas said, Paul, isn't it rough? Paul said, yes, but son, isn't it wonderful to suffer a little bit for him who suffered everything for us?
Yeah.
Tell you what, Silas. Tell you what, son, you just lead us in prayer. I'm fixing to start a song service. And before daylight, I had the whole crowd in the jail converted and baptized.
Amen.
Wherever you find Paul, he's revealing Christ. Finally, they stoned Paul to death. And he's lying out there on the pile of rocks, and his spirit went on up in paradise. He got thinking about he wasn't revealing Christ up then. He wanted to come back. And he come back down here and got in that old carcass under all that pile of rock and come out wiping the blood off. His clothes blooded and torn. Said, hey, I want to tell you something. Just got back in paradise. And I can't tell you what it's like. I heard things not lawful me to tell you. Can't tell you what it's like, but I'm going to tell you this much. My spirits are groaning and a grunting and a moaning, wanting to be up from this spot and be back up there. I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to strip this flesh off and go on. Nevertheless, it's necessary that I stay in the flesh to help you. I couldn't reveal Christ up there, and I've asked him to let me come back that I might reveal Christ a little while longer.
Amen.
Wherever Paul was, he realized his job revealing Christ. Look again. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, John the Baptist. God sent him to prepare a people for the Lord. And John was to be the forerunner of Jesus. Now, mind you, before John ever was born, while he's yet in his mother's womb, the mother of Jesus went over and told the mother of John that Jesus was on the way. And old John had a jumping, shouting spell in his mother's body. He went to running right there. And he came on in this world, and he prepared a people for the Lord. He went out into the wilderness and preached a repentance for the remission of sins and so on, and baptized a bunch of people. If they wanted to be baptized out repenting and showing evidence of repentance, he wouldn't have them. He'd call them snakes and vipers. Sent them away. And he prepared a people for the Lord. See, John the Baptist led those disciples to Christ and baptized those disciples. And that made Baptists out of them. And then he baptized Jesus, and that made a Baptist out of him. And Jesus organized the church out of those 12 disciples that was baptized by John the Baptist. He is a Baptist, and those fellows is Baptist, and that made it a Baptist church. It's been here ever since, and it'll be here till Jesus comes. If you want a little more on it, I just tell you this much. When John got through baptizing Jesus and making a Baptist out of him, God the Father spoke out of heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." Holy Ghost came in visible form and put his approval on it. So God said he's a Baptist, and the Holy Spirit said he's a Baptist, and he said, "I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." So the Baptist church is still here. Be here the next time you hear tell of it, because it's a church that Jesus started. But God sent John to prepare the material for it to be done, and John did it.
Amen.
Now you want another one. Here's one a little more technical than either one of those. Listen to it. "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying," listen now, "before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, for he ever was formed out of the dust of the earth. For I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." When? While he was still in his mother's body. All right. "Then said I, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to plant, to build." Who was it? Jeremiah. For his ever birth, as God looked down through the card of time and saw the need of a great prophet like Jeremiah, he had it planned. He birthed him for that purpose. He birthed John the Baptist. He birthed Paul. And my friends, all the rest of you, he birthed you into this world. Paul found out what his was. John found out what his was. Jeremiah found out what his was. Moses found out what his was. Abraham found out what his was. Stephen found out what his was. Have you found out yet what God created you for? Just not to have another number. Just not to have another human being to add to the crowd. Oh, no! Every one of you, listen to me. God had a specific task when he created you.
Amen.
Now, what are you here for? What did God create you for? What did he need you for? Preacher, I don't know. Get in the closet and stay with God till he tells you, and then get to doing something about it. I can't think of any greater tragedy than for you to walk through this life and run the span of this life, my friends, and never know why God put you here. What for? But I know you're not accidentally here. I know God had a purpose. And the next thing he does, my friends, he not only created you for a work, but when he built you, created you, he built within you the ability to do what he put you here to do. Jeremiah was built with that ability to be the great prophet to the nations, to tear down, to build, to destroy. John the Baptist had that ability to be the forerunner and be the preparer. Paul had that ability of not being ashamed, but stand up like a man among all the men and reveal Christ. And so, my friends, none of you but what have the ability to do what God created you to do. God just created this little old colt to take Jesus in. Now, so far as I know, we don't see anything else of that colt. But thank God he done what he's created to do. That colt was born, the man raised him, and gave him to Jesus to do what he's supposed to do when that time come and the colt did it. Amen. And so as a result, you ought to wake up to the fact that God's got you here for something. You're not accidentally here. You ought to get close to God and let him tell you what he put you here for and get at it. Amen. You say, I don't have the talent. Don't tell me that. God never created anybody without the ability. Tell us over in the book of Matthew that we all created with our several ability. To one he gave 5 talents. To another 2. To another 1. The one took the 5 talents, invested, made 5 more, doubled it. One who had 2 talents, invested, made 2 more, doubled it. The one who had 1 went out and hid it. When the master came on the scene, the one who had 5 talents said, I made 5 more, here's 10. One who said, and the master said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many things. And then the one who had 2 talents said, yeah, I've invested and made 2 more, here's 4. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, give you do, I'll make you ruler over many things. The one who had 1 talent said, I knew you was a hard servant, you reap where you sowed not, and so on. The master said, take it away from him and give it to somebody who'll use it. Now you keep this in mind. The one that had the 2 talent did as much as the one that had 5. He just doubled it. Had the man with 1 talent doubled, he'd have done as much as the one with 5, see? See, that's all either one of them done. But he said, thou hast been faithful over the few things, now I'll make you rule over anything. Hey, if you intend to rule and reign, you're going to have to be faithful over the few things God give you to do. Amen. He's not going to overload you, but he's left some things. He created some that some things need to be done, and you're the only one that can do it. Amen. And so as a result, he's left it like that. You know, God's never unreasonable. For example, a little boy brings a penny, which is a tithe of his dime he made. Another one brings a dime, which is a tithe of the dollar. Another one brings a dollar, which is a tithe of 10. Another one brings 10, which is a tithe of 100. And some man brings 1,000, which is a tithe of 10,000. But the man that put 10,000 on the altar didn't put a bit more on the altar than the little boy that put the penny.
Right.
And he's just as faithful to what God said do as the other. And so you just remember that. God is watching your activity. And he's demanded that we bring a tithe and put it in a basket and put it on the altar. And if you're skinflint, tight-fisted, robbing God, don't ever expect God to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant, when you get up yonder. If you've robbed God, he'll say, come on in, you stinking thief, and sit down over there. And if he puts you over something and you're one of these in and out and off and ons, occasional, then he's not going to risk you to the king because you'd be trotting off somewhere else. See, you can folk to family reunions or picnics or to the lakes or somewhere instead of being there on your post of duty. God couldn't risk you because the enemy would get the place while you're gone. But if you're faithful over the assignment that God gives you, and stand by, then he said, you're faithful over a few things, I'll make you rule over many things. See, you don't have to answer for the ability you don't have. God created each one of you with some ability. Just like he did this colt. And you see, all of us are individuals in the sight of God. And so, you must recognize that you're not going to be lost in the crowd, honey. No, no. God's watching you as an individual. See, God deals in individuality. Every drop of rain comes as an individual drop. If they all got together up there, it splashes death when it hit. every flake of snow comes as an individual flake. Now, next time it snows, and it'll probably be here by morning again, you watch it. There'll be a flake of snow big as a quarter, half a dollar coming down through the space. And here's a little bitty flake no bigger than a nail head. You think that great big one's going to hit it? No. It'll bypass it. Every flake of snow has electrode in it. And they never touch each other in space. They all come down as individuals. When all the big flakes and all the little flakes get down here, the earth turned white. Takes big flakes, little flakes. Because if it's all big flakes, you see, where the big flakes got together, there'd be some corners in there that it wouldn't be filled. But God sent big flakes, and then where the big flakes touch, then the littles can fill in between and make it a blanket of snow.
Amen.
So it takes all the flakes, takes all the drops of water. Now let me tell you something else. There's no two flakes of snow that have the same content. No two drops of rain has the same content. Check 100,000 drops of rain, and you'll find no two of them identical. Every drop of rain has a different content. Every flake of snow has a different content. So if that drop don't get there, the earth missed something. That flake don't get there, the earth missed something. It got it that it went on to it. So keep this in mind. Just like every last one of you has got a different ability. And nobody has what you have to do. God created you. God birthed you. God breathed you into the world to do that task. And if you don't do it, it won't ever be done.
Amen.
You're responsible for it. And God helped you to realize it, my friends. So therefore, I want you to realize, just like the colt, he had a job to do. We all have ability. You don't have to answer, thank God, for the other fellow's ability. I used to worry my fool self to death because I couldn't be a preacher like Criswell over here in Dallas or like Billy Sunday used to be. He is one of my ideals, and I wished I could be one like him. Or Mordecai Ham. But I just never could be one like that. And some others. And I read the story of Moody. Moody said, it's yet unknown what one person fully surrendered to the will of God can do. I said, I'm going to be him. I like that challenge. I was always kind of felt like to be have a rough challenge. And I said, I'm going to be it. And so I went to praying and a fasting and reading my Bible and went to the woods and stayed out in the woods away from human beings and out there and prayed and fasted and cried and just wanted enough to do to be that person. I give up things that most men have never give up to go all the way. I did everything I knew. And I said, now look, God, it still ain't that way. And he caught me out in the woods and gave me a good talking. And he said, I give this the ability to do what I want you to do. And if you do with what ability I give you, you're faithful to that ability as Sonny was to his or as Crystal is to his. You've done as much as they've done. And you see, the thing of it was, I thought I ought to have enough power to shake the whole earth. Have some great miraculous power. But then God let me see that I couldn't eat enough for dinner to do me the rest of my time. I had to come every day and get something to eat.
Amen.
And he let me know he wasn't going to give me enough power to run me the rest of my life. Did it burn me up and blow me away? But I'm to come every day. Let him take up his cross daily. Somewhere in this building, for example, somewhere in this building there's a light switch. Big electric switch that distributes the current that comes off my high-powered line. So it burns these lights, burns the motors that runs the heat, and so on. But if all the voltage turned on one of those lights, it'd burn it up in a minute. It's to flash and it'd be gone. But the switch back there distributes The high voltage line comes into the electric switch box, and then it distributes it to the 100 watt or to 500 watt or the 1 horse motor, the 10 horse motor, distributes it out. And God let me see that that's it. When I got saved, He put the Holy Spirit, which is God's big switch box that handles the high voltage line. And whatever I need, I can throw on the switch and it's in there. No need of God give me enough power to run a 5 horse when I'm not but a quarter horse. No need of God give me enough power to burn 1,000 watt when I'm a 50 watt. So as a result, when I saw that, I said, thank you, God. And I saw it. We all have our different abilities. And if everybody had the same ability, where would we be? Back yonder in the Mississippi Delta, they got tractors now. It's unbelievable. Pulls 18 plows at a time. Plows 18 rows at a time. Pulls 18 planters at a time. Plant 18 rows at a time. And I saw that new tractor. What a tremendous piece of machinery it is. And run about as fast as a pickup nearly down through the field. Just plow hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of acres in a day. And I thought, well, look at that. Plowing 18 rows at a time. Planting 18 rows at a time. Used to, we couldn't plow but one row at a time when I was a boy. And I got to watching that thing. And it got down to the end of the row. It couldn't get up there in the corner. Had to have about an acre or two to turn around in. Now I said, that's a lot of good saw wasting. But I drove on down the road a little piece further, and I saw a fellow with an old mule in there plowing the corners. Amen. And another fellow with a little bitty tractor plowing the corners. He could get in those corners and plow them out and plant stuff in there. And I knew what he's doing, but I stopped. And I said, what's that fella, that little old tractor mule doing? Said, oh, mister, said, these big tractors, they just plow the main part of the field and leaves a lot of corners. We have to have the little tractor or the mule to plow them out. And said, we usually plant our seed corn over in those corners and our seed crops, because it's taken care of tenderly by the personal touch that's given with the little tractor or the mule. And then said, we just wholesale it out here, plowed all the rest of it out of the big tractor. And I started on down the road, and that scripture came to me, created us with our several ability. And I said, thank God. God didn't create me with the ability of W.A. Crystal over here in your city. He didn't give me that ability. He didn't give me the ability of Billy Sunday. He didn't give me the ability of Mordecai Ham or Dwight Moody. He gave me the ability of Percy Ray. And I don't have to answer for nobody's ability but mine. Amen. See? And here's these fellows like Billy Graham, Dr. Crystal, and others. They're those big plows. And boy, they plow by the thousands. They plow by the thousands. But God left a bunch of us little mules and little one-horse tractors to plow out the corners. And we got more corners than we got big fields. Because every big field is four corners. So we got more little one-horse preachers and Sunday school teachers and deacons and churches than he has the big ones. Because they need four times as many. And so as a result, my friends, I want you to realize some little one-horse church, so to speak, led Criswell to Christ, led George W. Truett, the former man, to Christ, led these other fellows to Christ. And if you hadn't had the little corners, those big plows would have never got on the market. Amen. So I'm saying to you, just because you can't be a Criswell, well, my friends, you take me over at that First Baptist Church in Dallas and turn me loose, I wouldn't last till the first song got through. He got 280 deacons, and we ain't got 134 members. I wouldn't last in that old water got out. Hey, go home. They wouldn't listen to a crackpot like me. But if you'd bring Crystal down to Myrtle and turn him loose down there in that 134 people, he'd climb the wall. Of course, he didn't have nobody to preach to. See, God has tempered us, my friends, and talented us according to what he had for us to do. And if I do my job, I've done as much as Crystal and the rest of them. If God said does his job here, yeah, he's done as much as Mordecai, Ham, or Crystal, or Truro, or any of the rest of them. Because God just gave him that ability to do what he wanted him to do, and here's what he wanted him to do it, and bless God, he's doing it, and he's doing as much as anybody else. And that's where you better wake up, just because you can't be the greatest song leader in the world, because you can't be the best preacher in the world, or the finest Sunday school teacher that's ever been. You better wake up and realize God didn't create you that ability. You better jump up and thank God he created you for something, and you're going to do it for the glory of God. That's the whole story. My friends, that old you. Jesus couldn't got in. Scripture couldn't have been fulfilled without that colt. Wouldn't have much sense as a donkey. Won't have much sense as a goose or an ox. Said over in the book of Isaiah that the ox knows who his master is. The ox knows who owns it. And the ass knows where his master's crib is. The old donkey gets hungry. He knows which building to go to. He knows where the master's got the corn. He goes there. He didn't go trotting off somewhere else. Amen. Well, it won't have that much sense. Or no, God's got something for us. Or to know God owns us. We were created by him and recreated if we're saved by him. And we're bought with a price. And he owns us. And we belong to him. And we ought to surrender and say, here I am, Lord. Whatever it is, show it to me. I'm ready. I'm ready. Amen. May God help us to see it. The Lord hath need of you. It didn't just happen in this world. You just didn't happen to come along here. My friends, God had a certain thing for you to do. And that's the reason he created you to do it. And you ought to find out. Hey, don't drift. Don't float. Don't just get lost in the crowd. Wake up, my brother, sister, and realize God created me for something, and I got to find out what it is and do it. Amen. And the Lord added to the church daily such as are saved. Why did God add you to this church? That's all no preacher. High time you was finding out, be a member of 5 years, never know why God put you in here, it'd be a pretty disgrace. If you don't know why God adds you to this church, you get on your knees in the closet and stand there and God tells you why he adds you to the church. Lord had need. And not a one of you. Let me drive it home. Not a one of you. Young or old, intelligent, rich or poor in this building. God didn't create for a specific purpose. Just like he did this colt. And when he had need of him, the colt was ready and the man who owned him was ready. When God has need of your talent or time or whatever he has, you better be ready. Amen. Don't you go miss the boat. You're going to miss the way. God need the man in Noah's day that had built an ark. And he found that man in Noah. And Noah went out and built an ark to everybody in the world, making fun of him. They laughed at him. Old screwball, crazy. He got the ark built. And it didn't rain a drop. Then they really had a jubilee. And God told Noah he's going to put male and female of every creature in there to preserve them till the floods were going to sweep everything out. Ark was all built and ready. Noah got in there and got in there with his family. No rain, not even a cloud, no fog. And the critics and the world made fun and laughed. They're having a time. Days went on, then one morning, old society's sister with the glasses on, feeding a little canary singer, had a beautiful little bird, beautiful little singer. It never had been a disobedience. But when she opened the door to put some food in, out it went. She took out after it, went in Noah's Ark. Here's another lady going along, leading her little dog with a leash, little poodle. Take him in a walk. All of a sudden, tore her loose. She took out after him, went in Noah's Ark. Male and female of every creature went in. Noah didn't have to get out and run them in, hunt them up. Male and female of every living thing come and went in. Why? God created that ark for that. And he touched that particular couple of male and female and put them in there. The rest of the world drowned when the curse of God fell on them. The judgment of God came. And God needed some man that had enough faith in him to offer his own son, his promised son, as a sacrifice to this symbolic picture of Jesus, God's only begotten son. And as a result, Abraham met that need. God needed somebody, my friends, that would not give up when the devil got on him. He found that somebody in Job. Devil took all of Job's property and made him a pauper. Took all of his family, killed them, and stand out there in the cemetery. And as a result, he went out in sackcloth and ashes, mourning, and got up and said, "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away." And finally, the devil said, "Let me have his health, and he'll curse you." You remember, God permitted, and the boils from the crown of his head to the sole of his foot broke out on old Job, and he couldn't even sit down, sitting in a pile of ashes with an old potsherd scraping the soil. Devil got in his Job's wife. She said, "Job, why don't you curse this God and die?" He said, "You talk like a fool." Then the best friends Job had come up and said, "Job, curse God and die. You don't know what's going on, old boy." "I don't know what's going on, but one thing I know, my Redeemer liveth. Amen. And yea, though he slay me, while he slay me, I'm going to trust him." Amen. That shook the devil off the track right quick. Right. What will the devil have to do to get you to quit going to church and serving God? Have a little family fuss and you quit. Preacher don't shake hands with you, you quit. Somebody snobbed me, you quit. I heard somebody gossiping about me, you quit. My wife don't want me to, you quit. What'll have to happen to you to stop you from going to church? Nothing stopped Job. God needed some man that nothing wouldn't stop him. He'd stand for God in spite of everything that came his way. And Job did. Amen. What about you? What about you, my friend? And then there came a time when God needed a man that wouldn't break down under the pressures of opposition. He found that in Joseph. Joseph was sold by his brothers who was envious of him. And as a result, he was turned over and put in the dungeon of the king. First put in a pit, and then sold, and then in the dungeon. And then the man's wife that had put Jonah up a little bit in the position went and tried to get Joseph to have an affair with her. You notice what Joseph said? Said, "I'd be a disappointment to my master. But worst of all, I'd be a disappointment to my God. And I'll not have no affair with you." And he didn't. God needs a man that'll stand when standing's needed. That's the thing about it. God had need of a little old barefooted, freckle-faced, snaggle-toothed boy with some fish. Jesus been out here teaching folks all, nearly all day. Well, afternoon. They getting hungry. Jesus knew all the time. They didn't. But Jesus knew. You know why? He had created a little boy with fishing in his bones. So he'd go fishing. And he had a little boy, had a mother that had fixed him some lunch out of fish and some bread. And Jesus knew what this all thing. It's at dinner time. We better go somewhere. Jesus said, get in the boat to the disciples. We've got to go over yonder. And they got in a boat and started across the sea. But remember, there's a little old boy down here fishing away. Didn't get him. Lost my bait. Didn't get him. But he'd caught two the day before. And his biting so good he'd forgot to eat his lunch. And he's a fishing away all enthused. He saw some fellows come across the boat, thought nothing about it. But all of a sudden, when Jesus and those disciples got in the boat, the scripture said the people outwent them. Thousands of people outran them around the banks. Here, there goes Jesus and the disciple in the boat. Here comes thousands of men running, running, and run right up on the little boy and like to scare him to death. No doubt he said, what are you going to do to me? Not you, son. It's the man in the boat yonder. What are you after? He forgot his fishing. The crowd, he's lost in the crowd. Listening between the people. Trying to work his way through where he could see him. Heard Jesus say, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Foxes have their holes in the rock. Birds have their nest in the eggs, so on. And the little boy's heart was touched. And after a while, the disciples said, Master, it's way over in the evening. These folks are going to start fainting on us. We better send them home. No grocery store out here. No eating place out here. And they're hungry. They're starving. They'll start fainting on us. And Jesus said, feed them. I got about 200 pennies. I ain't going to get nowhere at 5,000 people. Little boy said, Mister, you can have my lunch. Disciples said, shut up. You ain't got enough feed. Well, I got a couple of fish and 5 pieces of bread. Shut up. He don't want it. Been handed out there, those hands where he'd been putting worms on his hooks and didn't look too good, no. Carried around nearly all day. There in the hot sun. Jesus said, what? Well, that's how I said, oh, little old boy, yeah, I got a couple of fish and 5 pieces of bread he wanted to give you. But that's nothing for this crowd. Jesus said, son, you want to give me? Yes, sir. Here's my fish and my bread, mister. You can have it. There it is. Jesus said, thank you. Said, sit the men down in companies of 50s and 100s. He didn't want any ministerial guessing. He wanted a number, know the number. So it'd be dead sure how many, 5,000. Got them all seated. When I got them all seated, he took the bread and thanked God for it, and took the bread and thanked God for it. And began to pull the meat off, break the bread off, and send it to him, the people, by the disciples. 5,000 ate all it could, and the little boy got all he could eat, too. I imagine he fed him first. And 12 baskets left over. Not scraps, which I told you when I was here before. Talked to you about baskets. Not scrap, but good meat. Now the Lord had need of some fish and 5 barley loaves. You think that is an accident? No, sir. God looked down through the corridors of time. He had that little boy born with a thrill of fishing and faithfulness of catching some fish and bringing it out there, and it was out there when the Lord needed it, wasn't it? And he gave it when he needed it. And 5,000 men got to see the bread and hear the story of the bread of life. Hadn't been for the little boy, that message would have never been delivered. You say, well, Mr. Ray, that's all a little old boy ever done so far as we know. Well, bless God, that's more than most of us have done. We've never got 5,000 men together and let them listen to the message all day, have we? He needed a colt, and the colt was there. The man is willing. He needed some fish, and the boy was there and was willing. God hath need of you at different times. Are you willing? Are you there? Then come another time, Jesus is fixing to be anointed for death. Because he'll not get to be anointed down there in the tomb. He's going to leave before they get him fixed. And a little old woman, backwoods probably, didn't have much of this world's goods, but she'd saved all of her money for months, probably years, and bought a box of ointment. Somebody said it had this fragrance of a million roses in it. I don't know what it had, but I know it's a valuable bunch, a box of ointment, because the disciples said it could have been sold for a price. And there came a time, and she comes up and breaks that box of ointment and anoints the Lord. One of the disciples nudged her and said, look. Said, Jesus, rebuke her. We could have given that to the poor folks. Sold that and give the poor folks. Here she is. Wait a minute, pointing out. Jesus said, you shut up. If you want to help me, poor folks help me after I'm gone. Now, we always got some complainers. They don't believe in the church doing anything, cost anything. And they don't let the right hand know what the left one's doing because neither one of them's doing anything. The gripers is the one that ain't doing nothing. Here's this poor little old woman, maybe all of her, and everything she had, she'd spent it on that box of ointment. But when the Lord needed it, she broke it, anointed to the Lord. They wanted to complain. You know what Jesus said? He said, shut up. This will go down as a memorial to this woman, and wherever the gospel's preached, they'll hear about what she did for me. He needed somebody there at that particular moment to furnish the anointing. She was there. You don't have anything else you ever done. That is enough, wasn't it? Every generation's heard about her, and that'll be more than they'll hear about me and you. We won't be heard of that much. But I want you to see the Lord had need of the ointment. She had it there. The Lord had need of the fish. They had it there. The Lord had need of a colt, and they had it there. The Lord had need of an ark, and Noah had it there. And you could go on and on. The Lord had need of a forerunner to prepare the people he had there in John the Baptist. Needed a prophet. He had there. Needed a man to lead his people out of Egyptian bondage. And Moses was there. He'd had the mother of Moses to prepare Moses for this hour. When the time come, Moses was there. My friends, I want you to realize someone is needed today to stand in the gap. Amen. Someone needed to be an intercessor in prayer. Someone needs to hold up the hands of God's men like never before. I've never seen so many discouraged, quitting preachers since I've been in the ministry. Some of them are good preachers, and they got so despondent, discouraged, they've dropped their hands and they're losing the battle. Somebody needs to hold up the hands of God's leaders today. And oh, then God needs somebody whose love won't wax cold in these days. He said in the last days, the love of many will wax cold. Have you ever seen so many teachers and singers and deacons and preachers getting cold? cold and had taken out and quitting on God? You ever seen a time when so many church members getting cold and quitting? God needs somebody with enough warmth in their heart that in these last days, because iniquity abound, we'll not get cold. We'll stay hot-hearted. Hot enough to produce a revival. Hot enough and fervent enough to get prayers answered. God hath need. Can he find it in you? That's the question. We stop to realize, my friends, he needs someone to shine the light. You're the salt, and God needs salt to preserve this decaying, rotten world. You're my witnesses, and God needs your witness. Let your light so shine. God needs some lights. One of the most interesting stories to me in the Bible. Probably heard me use it in illustration somewhere to illustrate what I want to say here tonight. All of the trees of the world got together and had a big convention. And they said, we don't have a president. And all the trees got together and cast a vote and elected a president. And they elected the olive tree. And they said, Mr. Olive Tree, you've been elected president of the trees. Come now and reign over us. Said the olive tree, Judges 9:9 is where you find it. Book of Judges. The olive tree considered it and said, be president of the trees, reign and rule over the trees. But who'd bear olives? If I were to be president of the trees, where would there be any olives? And the olives are crushed and it makes oil. It keeps the lights on in the house of God. My olives are crushed and makes oil where God anoints his people. If I go to be president of the trees, there'll be no more oil out of olives. Because there's no more olives. The lights will go out in the house of God. People won't be anointed with God's oil anymore. The olive tree said, thank you. Thank you for the honor. But I'll just keep on bearing olives. You can hunt you another president. You know what's wrong with a lot of us Baptists? We run around wanting to be presidents of clubs and fraternities and civic enterprises and everything else. Dog fights and chicken fights and everything else. And we don't care if the lights go out in the house of God. We don't care whether God has oil or not. God had need. And he didn't put the olive tree here, my friends, to bear peaches. He put it here to bear olives. He didn't put you here to bear somebody else's responsibility. He put you here to bear it. Years ago in the South Carolina, state of South Carolina, barbed wire fence run down through a field. On one side of the fence, a young boy out of a poor home was picking cotton. God came down there and said, son, I want you to go preach the gospel to my people. That is R.G. Lee, he answered. But on the other side was another boy picking cotton out of a poor home. And God walked over on that side and said, son, I want you to be a great surgeon to heal my people. That became R.L. Sanders, who headed up the Sanders Clinic, the greatest clinic in the United States, one time. God raised him to be a great surgeon. They used him all over this world in foreign countries teaching young surgeons how to perform surgery. Archie Lee's become the preacher of preachers. Why? They answered. God may just need somebody to have some fish when he gets ready. Or have some ointment. He needs a woman to have some oil and meal to feed his prophet. And she had it. He needed a raven to carry his servant some food. And he had a raven that wouldn't eat the food and carried it to his servant. Oh, Elijah. Oh, my friends, what about you? What about you? God created you and saved you and added you to this church. God, help you to find out why and do it for God's glory. My friends, you say, but preacher, I can't do much. But with the help of God, it'll work. A little imbecilic boy went to one of the greatest concerts we've had in the last several years. One of the greatest artists of music came there. The tickets are sold out for 3 months before the time. Thousands was turned away, couldn't get in the auditorium that night. And they got up and sitting on the front seat by his mother was a little imbecilic boy that he saw a piano, he'd have a fit if he couldn't peck on it a little. And so as a result, the man had came, the great artist, and they was introduced him as the greatest musician, artist in the world. And they turned and said, this is a Steinway piano prepared and built particularly for this concert. When the little boy saw it, he hadn't seen it. He jumped up and ran over there and began to peck one note on it. Bang, 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 bang. Everyone in the house was embarrassed. The master of ceremonies was embarrassed. You can hear him saying, why don't somebody drag him off from there? The great artist was standing here ready to come down and play it. People were embarrassed and humiliated. Finally, the artist walked over and said, son, you like to play piano, don't you? You better do. Said, I do too. Would you mind if I join you? Said, if you won't bother my notes, you can have all the rest of them. The artist sat down and began to play around him. Soon the crowd lost their anger and their embarrassment. Soon the whole crowd went up in a great ovation. Another piece. And the crowd was overwhelmed in tears. And the little boy jumped up and ran back and sat down with his mama. Said, Mama, I played that thing, didn't I? The artist played a couple of more pieces. Before he started to play the third piece, they said, sir, would you let the little boy help you? It's better when his note's in there. It sounds better. Now, you may not be but a one-noter. But if you sit down and let the Lord get around you, it'll be better than some great artist. I was up in Kentucky. Now where the Kentucky Lake is, out of Paducah. In a meeting, Bray Sharpe meeting, trying to start a church. And later on dead. Never shall forget, there's an old woman up there. She's poor. She didn't have shoes to wear. Her dresses was made out of fertilizer sacks. They were clean, but made out of fertilizer sacks. She came to this meeting. One day she came to me with tears dripping off her cheek. She said, Mr. Ray, I want to do something for God, and I can't. I said, why? She said, I can't read and I can't write. Therefore, I can't read a song, I can't sing, I can't write. And said, I can't teach because I can't read the Bible, can't read the Sunday school. Another thing I can do. But she said, I'm not putting on the front. Preacher Ray, I want to do something for Jesus. Worse than anybody ever saw. I said, do you? She said, yeah. And I looked in this four little old barefooted boys. It was like stair steps. They were hers. I said, all right. Mother, there's four boys. Raise them where God can use them and will use them. And you perform the greatest mission anybody can perform. Look what Moses' mother did for him. She looked at me and said, thank you, Mr. Ray. Pray for me as I go. 25 years rolled along. I was back up there in that section recently in a meeting with a friend of mine, a preacher friend of mine. I said, you remember the old tent, the old Fresh Yard meeting? He said, yeah. I said, what about this family? You know, we went in the home and ate. There's poor people, but we ate with them. And I felt a lot of them. Said, oh, Brother Ray, they're still living in the same old house. It's propped up with poles, but they're there. Would you like to see them? They're real old and feeble, but they're still there. I said, would you be kind enough to carry me over there in your car? I won't see them. We drove over and got in about a quarter mile of the house. The road's rough, couldn't go. We had to park the car and walk down there. Walked up in front of the house, and it was all propped up, as he said, with poles. And I said, hello? Hello? I heard a rustling in the house. And I looked through an open door to summer. And I saw an old man bent with age, hair as white as cotton, shoving a straight chair for a walker. He didn't have a regular walker, just using a chair. He got near the door and said, come in, gentlemen, come in, gentlemen. He sort of straightened up and looked at me. He said, oh, mother, mother, you couldn't guess in 100 years who's here. Come here, mama, come in, see who's come, sis. I heard another rustling in the house, and I looked through the door, and there came an old woman bent so far she couldn't even look up hardly. Very feeble, shuffling her feet, pushing that chair for a walker. Said, mama, in a hood head. She almost straightened up. Said, it's Brother Ray. Aren't you Brother Ray? I said, yeah. And she got still straight. Said, Brother Ray! She come in jumping up and shaking that old chair on the floor. Said, I did it! I did it! I did it! I did it! I said, what? Said, I raised my boys. Said, two of them been on the foreign mission field now for 10 years. One of them's executive secretary of the Baptist Convention of the state. And the other one left yesterday for the foreign mission field. They're all gone. And I'm just shouting over it. Don't tell me you can't do nothing. You got some young'uns, a little old grand young'uns. God can use them. You got some other things God can use. Don't cheat him. The Lord hath need. Thank you.